bed size.
The lucky ones are the ones that get to hold the microphone. Everybody likes to hold the microphone. Here's what we're going to do tonight. I would like to, I want to ask the Johnsons to move over there to that second pew and maybe the Paynes. I would like to have you folks stay put, you graduates and your families. But if your child is kindergarten up through about age 10, and you would give them permission to come down and sit here in the front tonight, I'd like to do that, all right? So if your child, is kindergarten up through age 10, not just in our school, this is the whole church, okay? I would like to talk tonight to the kids, and that's what I'd like to do. Brother John Robertson texted me a little while ago. He said, "Praying." Go ahead. There's a second row right there. Okay, there's a second row right there. Here's some seats right here. Here's some seats right here, guys. Okay, and there you go. Good. There you go. Maybe sit back there by Becca Payne. You two girls back there, young ladies, Heartline girls. All right, that's good. There you go. Okay, Dad. No talking. You're too crowded in that pew right there. All right. One of you girls needs to move back. Kate, why don't you move back and sit by Miss Crowley and Leah back there. Okay. Now spread out some, guys. Spread down this way and give yourself some breathing room. He won't bite. He doesn't have cooties, okay, yet. All right. So Brother John Robertson texted me this afternoon and said, "Pray that you have a good service tonight." I texted him back and said, "I'm going to preach. This is kindergarten graduation, and I'm going to preach to the kids. Maybe the adults will get it, amen." So maybe Alan and Caleb, some of you folks will get it tonight if I get it down here on the kids' level, all right? But I want to talk tonight for a little bit to these kiddos, and we'll just let the adults listen in tonight, all right? And we'll let the teenagers and the adults and all the other folks that are here, we'll just kind of forget they're here tonight. We'll have a good time, all right? And have a lesson here that hopefully will be a blessing to you. If you brought a Bible, go to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22, and I want to speak just for a few minutes about a young man that we find here in chapter 22 of 2 Kings, and just say a few things about this young man, and then we'll be on our way. I do want to say tonight, congratulations to these two families. It's always a big event when you put your child in kindergarten on the first day, send them to kindergarten, and the moms come with their cameras and take the pictures, and then here we are now just a few months later, and it's over. The first year is over. I appreciate Toby and Dina's interest in their grandson. I appreciate their financial interest. I appreciate their heart interest. I appreciate all that they put into Gage. And I commend both of you folks on that. God bless you. There's a reason why you have young children when you're young. But you folks have done a great job helping this boy out. God bless you. I appreciate that. And then the Rodriguez family, God bless you folks. These folks are from the Spanish department. There's, I don't know a finer man, Spanish or English, than Luis Rodriguez, and I mean that. They're just a great guy. And, Brother Cardenas leans on him heavily. Just a right-hand guy involved in the teaching and preaching. And if you don't know him and her, this is a great couple. It's a privilege that our church has this kind of department. Amen. And has this part of them. So, all right, 2 Kings 22, here we go. If you kiddos didn't bring your Bible down here, that's all right. Just sit up and listen. We're going to have a good time tonight. We won't be here too long, but I want to talk to you just a little bit about some things that are especially needed for you. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. So I want to speak tonight on the subject of Josiah, right in God's sight. Josiah did right in God's sight. Okay, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for these two kindergarten young men who are no longer kindergartners now. They're going into first grade. I pray that you'll bless Gage and Luis. Thank you for the parents and grandparents who are here tonight celebrating this evening with them. Thank you for the church folks who've come out, for the good song we just heard, and for all these youngins gathered down here in these first few pews. I pray, God, that you'll bless our thoughts to them tonight, give them a listening ear, a receptive heart, and God, would you please put a hedge of protection about them and use them for your honor and glory in the years to come. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. 8 years old. Who is 8 years old? Any boy? Dylan, come up here, Dylan. Can you imagine King Dillon, amen. King Dillon. I told him tonight, Brother Tom, went back here, he came hustling to the church service, and I said, Dillon, guess what? Looking at me, got that look, and I said, we voted this morning to go to school all summer. Tell him what you said, Dillon. He said, no. So, but anyway, can you imagine this boy, a boy this age, wearing a crown? Can you imagine Dillon being king? I can't imagine Dillon being king. You boys can, huh? Sure, that's right. But these girls can't imagine. They're like females. They don't like to be told what to do. So that's what it is. So. Okay. 8 years of age. He's wearing a crown. That's an amazing story, isn't it? Thank you, Dillon. You can sit down. 8 years of age, guys, and Josiah is the new king of Israel. Going to sit on the throne, rule and reign as the king. He's 8 years old. The Bible says two or three interesting things. And by the way, the Bible goes on to say more about Josiah when he was 16, when he was 20, and when he was over 20 years of age. He's a great guy. You ought to read the whole chapter sometime because he is a great young man. He became a great adult man, and it started when he was a boy. Started when he was young, 8 years of age. Here he is, king. The Bible has several good things to say about him when he was 8 years of age. We're going to look at one thing tonight. The Bible says two or three, but we're only going to talk about one. The Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Right in God's sight. That's how you want to live your life. You want to live your life doing right in God's sight. Let me remind you tonight, I'm not going to preach on this, but let me remind you tonight that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord go through to and fro throughout the whole earth. God sees everything. There's nothing hidden from God. God sees what we do on the outside. God knows what we think on the inside. God knows what our heart is towards our parents. God knows what our heart is toward our fellow classmates, the friends we have in Sunday school. God knows what we're doing when our parents aren't looking. God sees it all. Doesn't miss anything. Do you know what a turkey looks like? A turkey's an unusual animal because a turkey has eyes on the side of his head. And I believe, if I remember reading right, that a turkey has almost 360-degree vision. It's like 320-degree vision or something like that. Can almost see a complete circle. When you go turkey hunting, you have to sit in the hills. You can't jump, scratch your ear, mess around. Because they got great sight. Best sight of all the animals, I think. But God's got better sight than a turkey. God sees it all. God doesn't miss anything. And you need to remember tonight, the rest of your life, if you'll just remember this one thing, if you live right in the sight of the Lord, you'll have a good life. You'll have a great life. Now, we're going to take that word right tonight. Who knows how to spell right? Anybody know how to spell right? Ethan, you know how to spell right? How do you spell it? R-I-G-H-T. You got it. Good man. Right. We're going to take the word right tonight. And we're going to put it just like this, R-I-G-H-T. And I'm going to give you one sentence with each one of those letters that will help you live right in God's sight. This will help you live right in God's sight. You ready? Here's the first one, the letter R. The letter R stands for read your Bible. Read your Bible. Did you learn how to read this year, Gage? Can you read some words? Did you learn how to read this year, Luis? Did you really? And all you other guys know how to read? Read your Bible. Listen, this book is not written just for your parents. This book is not written just for your pastor. This book is not written just for your Sunday school teacher. This book is not written just for your the folks that help you in King's Kids. This book is written for you. God wants to speak to you. You'll find several times in the Bible where God spoke to children. And God will speak to your heart. And reading the Bible is like reading a letter from God. One of these days, not right now, you know, but one of these days, your attitude about girls is going to change. Right now, they have cooties, they're weird, they're strange. And one of these days, your attitude about boys is going to change. Right now, they stink. They probably will always do that, all right? They're gross, okay? But one of these days, listen very carefully, one of these days, your whole attitude about boys and girls is going to change. And one of these days, you're going to get out there somewhere and you're going to have a girl that you're interested in or a boy that you're interested in. And that boy or girl, you listening, guys? You listening? That boy or girl is going to send you a letter. And you know what you'll do when you get that letter? You will open that letter and you'll sit down and you'll read it. And then you'll fold it up and you'll probably put it in your purse or in your pocket. And then you'll get it out and you'll read it again. And then you'll put it in your purse or your pocket and you'll get it out and you'll read it again. You'll want to read it and read it and read it because it came from somebody that likes you. I would say nice things about you. Do you know what the Bible is? The Bible is God's love letter to you. He said, nobody loves you like God loves you. Mom loves you. Dad loves you. Brothers and sisters, grandmas and grandpas, friends, cousins. They all love you, but nobody loves you like God loves you. God loves you more than everybody in the whole world put together. And God sent you a love letter, and He would like for you to read His love letter. I would say that all the boys and girls who can read ought to get in the habit of reading a few verses from your Bible every day. It's like eating. How many of you guys like, do you like to eat? I like to eat. And Brother Gage, when I asked, does your stomach ever growl in church? It wasn't, yep, it was, yeah! That's how Gage responds to everything, amen? You know, that's, he's right there. I mean, just, yeah! It was great. He didn't miss a lick. Now, we like to eat. We like to eat food. Food makes us strong. You may not like to take a bath, some of you younger ones, but you take a bath because mom or dad makes you take a bath. And you need to take a bath to stay clean. And, you know, that's what the Bible is for you. The Bible is food for your spirit and your soul to make you strong. And the Bible will help keep you clean, help keep your heart right. You may not be able to read. Girls, are you listening? I'm standing right here. You may not be able to read 6 or 8 chapters, but you could read 6 or 8 verses every day. You could take a chapter and read 10 verses. Then the next morning, you could read 10 more verses. Then the next morning, you could read 10 more verses. And you could read through a book in the Bible over a period of 2 or 3 weeks if you just do that. And you will do yourself a great favor if you'll get in the habit right now while you're young, of reading your Bible. Doing right in the sight of the Lord means R, read your Bible. Say it with me. It means what? Read your Bible. It means what? Read your Bible. Okay, what's the next letter in the word write? The first letter is the letter R. The next letter is the letter I. Okay, now listen very carefully. Here's what I stands for. I stands for ignore the devil's lures. Ignore the devil's lures. Let me show you something, okay? This is an arrow. Okay. This is the kind of arrow that men and people who use a bow to hunt, this is the kind of arrow they use, but this is not the kind of tip that they use. I didn't bring the kind of tip that they use when they go hunting because it has very, very sharp blades on it. I didn't want anybody to get cut. My daughter brought it in. I didn't want her to get cut, so I had her bring this. But this would still kill anybody if it was put through their heart. Okay? Now, when I am out deer hunting, and when some of these other men in the church are out deer hunting, you can't kill a deer by climbing up in the stand and taking the arrow and saying, hey, deer, over here, right here. There we go. Yeah, you with antlers. You, right over here. Come on. Arrow through your gizzard right here. Come on, right here. Here we go. Come on in. Yep, now turn sideways. There you go. Hold it. Hold it right there. You think you could kill a deer doing that? No. Your dad has a big old rack on his wall, doesn't he? Hmm? He didn't kill it that way, did he? No, you can't kill the deer by standing up and waving your arrow and saying, hey, come on in here. I want to put this right through your gizzard. You can't say that. So, they make different things called lures. That's really what they are, to try to get the deer to come in close enough. You don't show them this, but you might do this. I know that sounds funny to us, but it doesn't sound funny to them. Boy, they'll... And then if it's a boy deer, you that's a mama deer. And that deer, a lot of times, will stop. If you're real still, real quiet. He'll start coming. He'll start coming right to where you are. If that doesn't work, and it's a big daddy deer, big old antlers on his head, you can take these things, and you can do it like this. Because boy deers like to fight. They'll get in the woods at the end of October and in November, and they'll get their heads down, and buddy, they'll bang their heads into each other, and they'll bang their direction. And when you stand up in a tree stand, you can kind of put this down. Rattle it around. At one time I was hunting up with Brother Gomez up in northwest Chicago, outside northwest Chicago, and it was a cold day, and I was in my stand, and nothing was going on. And I took these things like this, and I started pounding them together. All of a sudden, pow! Out of the woods, man, this big old deer busted out of the woods and came running toward me. In fact, he got about 10 yards and just came right by where I was. I pulled the arrow back and shot him right through the guts. I lured him in. I could not get him to come by saying, hey, come over here, I want to put this in your gizzard. But I could get him to come in by luring him. Now listen to me. The devil doesn't have any of these. Okay? But he would like to ruin your life. Okay? Jesus said, Pastor Angel didn't say, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the devil came, listen to this, to steal, kill, and destroy. That doesn't sound like fun to me. Does that sound like fun to you? That doesn't sound like fun to me. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil's not going to stand up and wave his arms and say, hey, Gage, I want to ruin your life. He's not going to do that. Hey, Mikey, I want to ruin your life. Hey, Natalie, I want to ruin your life. I want to ruin your life. The devil's not going to do that. Come over here so I can destroy your life and make you miserable and make you unhappy and just make you a miserable person. He's not going to do that. But you know what he has? He has lures. And if he gets you coming his direction, he may be able to ruin your life. You see, the devil can't tell you the true story about alcohol, music, wrong friends. He can't tell you the truth, what he really wants to do. He wants to ruin and wreck and destroy your life. But if he can hook you, if he can get you lured in by using some things that aren't good and right for you, he can get you close enough, he can destroy you. Make you a miserable Christian. Nobody wants to be miserable, right? Nobody wants to be unhappy. You see, I know something about the Lord God in heaven. The Lord God in heaven has a plan for every one of you. Can you imagine that? Is that Romero? Romero Zavala. This is a good boy right here. Our God in heaven has a plan for this boy. out of how many billion? Over 6+ billion people on planet Earth. Our God in heaven has a plan for this boy right here. Our God in heaven has a plan for Bethany. Our God in heaven has a plan for Jenna and Alberto. He has a plan for every one of you and all your brothers and sisters and your parents, everybody. And God wants to bless you and make you happy and use you and make you a blessing to other people. And Satan wants just the opposite. He can't get you to come his direction by telling you the truth. So he tries to lure you in by telling you some lies. See, when I'm doing this, when I'm blowing in this grunt tube, I'm not a real deer. And basically, I'm lying to the deer. When I do this, I'm not a mama deer. I'm lying to him. And that's okay when you're hunting a deer. But I don't want to see that happen to boys and girls who grow up in Faith Baptist Church. Okay? Don't listen to the devil's lies. Because his intentions are not good. R stands for read your Bible. What does R stand for together? What does it stand for? Read your Bible. I stands for ignore the devil's lures. Can you say that with me? Ignore the devil's lures. We're talking about living right in God's sight. Right in God's sight. That's what Josiah did. And God made him king at age 8. Number, letter G, R-I-G. Get something out of church. Get something out of church. You know what I think? You know what I think about? When I look at you boys and girls. I think I know something about you. I think you like coming to church. I see you come in, and a lot of times you come running in. Sometimes you run too much. But you come in, and you're happy to see your friends, and I stand up on the platform during the songs, and I see you sing the songs out there, and you go to your Sunday school class, and you go to other things, King's Kids. And I think you like coming to church, and I'm glad that you do. When you go, don't just go to church, get something out of church. Okay? Listen, church is not just an activity. Church is not like going to watch the White Sox play or going to watch a race or something like that. Church is where God speaks to our heart. Church is where God takes a person, a Sunday school teacher, a man or a woman, or a King's Kids person, or somebody in a class or behind the pulpit, and God gives that person a message, and God wants to get that message to David, and God wants to get that message to Zach, and God wants to get that message to Hadley and Jaden. God wants to get all of you kids a message. So when you go to church, don't just go to church and treat it like an activity. Get something out of church. You ought to ask the Lord when you have your Sunday school class, who's your teacher, Alberto? Brother Ryan Harrison. You ought to ask the Lord when you come to church this Sunday, Lord, speak to my heart through Brother Harrison's lesson. And you know what, guys? It wouldn't hurt you to pray for your Sunday school teacher on the way to church. Ask God to bless them. And when you go to church, get something out of it. Listen. You know the best way to listen to your teachers? Best way to listen to the pastor, whoever's preaching behind the pulpit? You know the best way to listen is to keep your eyes. Some of you guys, since we started, your eyes haven't taken, you haven't taken your eyes off me. Your eyes have been right up here. That's the best way to listen to the person who's teaching or speaking. Put your eyes up here. Just get your eyes glued on the man speaking. Get your eyes glued on your Sunday school teacher and listen and ask God to give you. Listen, I tell people all the time. I told a lady last night, 27 years of age, after she got saved, I told her last night, I said, look, Jesus washed my sin away, but the Bible changed my life. And the place that I learned the Bible was in church. I am so glad when I got saved, I started going to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, listening. And when I would go to church and listen and take my Bible, my heart would burn. The Lord would speak to my heart. He still does that. I enjoy church. And I don't want to just go to church. I want to get something out of it. Sometimes I get notes from some of you guys. I got some notes today from the 5th and 6th grade class. That was a blessing to me. I got a note from you today, I think. Yeah. Got a note. It's a blessing. You You too, Zach. Nice notes. And many of you said, I like the preaching. And I'm glad you like the preaching. And I hope you like the Sunday school teaching. And I hope that you'll get something. Listen, if you listen and learn just one thing every time you come to church, think how much you learn by the time you're 18 years of age. So get something out of church. R stands for read your Bible. I stands for ignore the devil's lures. G stands for get something out of church. Can you say that with me? Get something out of church. All right, what's the next letter in the word right? R-I-G-H. Honor your parents. Honor your parents. Honor your parents. Honor your parents. Got good parents? Yeah, you do. You'll always do good, Mike. Boys got good parents. I like your parents. They love you, don't they? God will always bless you for honoring and obeying your parents. I could go down the line here. I'm so glad you girls are here. I'm so glad your mom's saved, coming to church. God will always bless you. That means honor them when you're around them. That means honor them when you're not around them. You know what they want you to do. You know how they want you to live. You know how they want you to behave. Don't just behave that way when they're looking at you. Behave when you're not with them. Always do what mom and dad have taught and trained you to do, even when you're not with them. Do you know that's one of the things that made Daniel such a great man when he went to Babylon? Understand, he was just a teenager. He wasn't much older than some of you boys in the 5th and 6th grade when Daniel went to Babylon. You know what one of the things he did when he got there? He was a long ways from his home, a long ways from his family. He was a captive. But when he got to Babylon, he decided that even though he wasn't near his parents, he was going to live like he was close to his parents. He decided he was going to live by the same rules in Babylon that he lived by in Jerusalem. And God blessed Daniel. So when you, as you grow up, learn what your parents want you to do. Learn what pleases them. And obey your dad. I can't tell you how much trouble you will stay out of if you'll just obey and honor your parents. Oh, man. And the devil's going to work every which way to get you sideways with your parents. He's going to work hard. He's going to put in extra hours. He's going to fight dirty. He's not fair. He's an ugly street fighter. He's going to do everything in his power to get you sideways with your dad and your mom. Everything. Because he knows that one of God's gifts to young people is good dads and good moms who love them and pray for them and teach them. And that's what many of you, if not most of you, if not all of you, have. That's God's gift to you. Don't squander it. Don't waste it. Obey your parents. Make their hearts glad. I told my kids when they were little, growing up in our house, that they held my heart and their mother's heart in their hand. And they could either take care of that heart and be careful with it, or they could squish it. Every one of you, one of you. Kate, that girl sitting right next to you, she still holds my heart in her hand. Still does. so far, she's taken care of my heart and her mother's heart, and she's made our hurts glad. But you know, if she doesn't watch it and make sure that she obeys God, she can do this to her heart. You don't want to do that to your dad's heart, do you? You don't want to do that to your mom's heart. You want to take care of their heart. And the way to take care of their heart is to obey them and honor them. I mean, commit yourself, dedicate yourself to obeying and honoring your parents. Amen? That's right. Okay. R stands for read your Bible. I stands for ignore the devil's lures. G stands for get something out of church. H stands for honor your parents. T stands for tell the truth. Now look at me. As sweet as you girls look, and as good as you guys are, I know something about every one of you. And that is, look at me. You're tempted to lie. And every one of you, no doubt, has told a lie, because I've told lies and everybody in this whole church has told lies. You need to start right now, very young in your life, learning to tell the truth. But Pastor, sometimes I'm afraid if I tell the truth, I'll get in trouble. You'll be in worse trouble if you don't tell. Because if you tell the truth, then you're going to have God's help. But if you don't tell the truth, you're not only going to be wrong with your dad and your mom, you're going to be wrong with God. So tell the truth. Some kids are not careful when they're young and they get in the habit of lying. And they tell lies even when they wouldn't have to. It's called habitual lying. Tell the truth. I wish I'd have learned that when I was a younger boy. I wish I would have learned to tell the truth. If you did something wrong around the house, Dad asks you, don't tell a lie. Mom ever brings you in and says, look, I need to talk to you. Did you say this? Did you do this? If you did it, say, yes, ma'am. Don't lie. And I would say this. If you get in trouble, if you do something wrong, go tell your mom and dad before they even come to ask you. I've been in bed, trying to go to sleep, and a knock on the bedroom door. Dad, can I talk to you? One of our kids was there. I said, what's up? They start to cry. I told Mrs. So-and-so a lie. I told Mrs. So-and-so a lie. We talked about it. Usually got a little bit of a spanking. And then they had to go to the teacher. But you know what? Their heart felt good. Don't get in the habit of lying. Tell the truth. 8 years of age, and he's a king. And at 8 years of age, Josiah did right in God's sight. That's how you want to live. When God looks down from heaven and sees you boys and sees you young ladies here on this earth, He ought to see you living right in His sight. Read your Bible. Ignore the devil's lures. Get something out of church. Honor your parents and tell the truth. And you'll be a long ways down the road of having God bless your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening tonight, boys and girls. I'm going to pray, and we're going to get ready to close the service. Dear Father, I pray that You'll bless these young people. Thank You again for Gage and Luis. And I pray, God, that You'll please help them to be fine young men. And I pray, God, that You'll bless all of these boys and girls in our church, Lord. Not just our school, but our church, every one of them. I love them. I thank You for them. They have wonderful parents and families. I pray, God, that You'll help them to read their Bibles. I pray that, God, You'll help them to ignore the devil's temptations. And I pray, God, that You'll help them to get something out of church. I pray that You'll help them to honor their parents. I pray that You'll help them to tell the truth. God, would you please bless these kids? Would you please bless these children? Could they please have your touch on their life as they grow up, all through their teen years and on into early adulthood? And Lord, if you stay in heaven, may they live as adults for your honor and your glory. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name.